New science.
Weird science.
Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
Maybe they're sisters. Maybe they're friends.
Honey, they're doctors.
We're going to focus on the science and the facts, pediatrics,
and psychiatry,
and research,
and the law,
and reproductive health care.
We should make a disclaimer that this podcast is not intended for medical advice.
It is general parenting guidance, and it reflects our own views. These are our opinions.
Okay, you talk in that microphone, and I'll talk in this microphone, and we'll see how it goes.
It's the holidays, everyone's busy, let's keep it short and sweet.
Sure. I mean, it's going to be as long as it is long. Joe Rogan goes, 5 hours, so...
We're not Joe Rogan, we are not doing a 5-hour podcast. Let's just do it.
Well, let me turn off the sound of my computer, because every time I get an email, it will go ding.
So, in honor of Thanksgiving,
we wanted to do a little bit of a special episode.
And this episode, we're going to focus on FSAs and HSAs. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry, we're going to explain it.
We want to talk about how to spend your healthcare money before the end of the year. And that includes using the maximum amount of your health insurance before your deductible resets.
So true. If you've hit that deductible, get your healthcare in now.
It's interesting. I think there have been studies showing that the most amount of elective surgeries happen in the month of December because people are trying to get it in before the deductible resets. And so we want to talk about how to maximize your benefits before the end of the year.
Especially with some of the coming changes we might expect to see with healthcare in 2025.
So Stephanie, what is an FSA? What is an HSA? And why do I not have one?
So that is a good question. So an FSA is a flexible spending account. Typically during open enrollment each year, which for me is in November.
It was in October for me and I hit skip because it was too complicated.
Oh no. So an FSA is a flexible spending account. During open enrollment, you decide how much you want to put up to the IRS limit, which is about $3,000. And then this money is deducted from your paycheck pre-taxes, and you get to use it or lose it on healthcare in the next year. So during open enrollment, it's a time that you've kind of got to figure out, how much money do I need for healthcare this year? What is this going to look like? Put it in.
That's when I backed out.
If you don't know, it is use it or lose it. Many plans don't allow you to roll the money over. And if you don't use the money by December 31st, you've lost it. So we are here to help you maximize the amount of money that you're using from your FSA if you've still got money left.
So what's the difference between an FSA and an HSA? And why was an HSA not available to me?
So an FSA is an employer-sponsored plan, so you're getting it through work. An HSA is a health spending account. This is a longer term account, but it is only available to people who are on an IRS qualified high deductible health plan. And these high deductible health plans were a little controversial as they were coming out, but this is a plan where there's not quite as much healthcare coverage. You're responsible for many more out-of-pocket costs, but in combination with that, you can get an HSA. So you can get an HSA only if you have a high deductible health plan, and that HSA belongs to you. It's not tied to your employment, and you can roll that money over. An HSA is not use it or lose it. You can keep the money in the HSA, and you can continue to use it through retirement. But if you've got an FSA, you got to spend that money by December 31st.
I think it's always been surprising to me. My credit card now sends me a monthly email being like, these are all the things that you can spend your FSA money on. I was surprised to learn the amount of things that show up on that.
So, it is officially November, which means
winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, and we're definitely in the daycare sniffles in this family.
In pediatrics, the Game of Thrones winter is coming meme is infamous, and we often change it to RSV is coming. And in the past few years, it's been the triple pandemic is coming. Winters can be rough, especially if you have little ones in school, little ones in daycare, or if you're working around children in any form.
So this is a great time to use your FSA money to stock up on infant Tylenol and children's Tylenol for kids who might have fevers.
And adult Tylenol and adult Motrin for when you get the fever that they lovingly shared with you.
And even better, if you should be stocking up on COVID-19 masks or test kits, those have been made available by the administration in the past, but it's been waxing and waning in terms of its availability. So if you're running low on supplies and it's not quite clear that the incoming administration is going to make those available, this is a good time to use that extra money just to make sure that your family's prepared.
That includes tests, but that also includes masks and other things that you might need. Cough drops, lozenges.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Once a year, Donna and I spend a day treating ourselves.
It's the best day of the year.
The best day of the year!
Often covered by insurance, but in case you have a plan where you need to pay out of pocket, this is also a good time to get a flu shot or a COVID-19 booster if you've not gotten one yet. A flu shot is one of the most effective ways of preventing the flu. And as someone who has had the flu in the past, the flu is miserable. And having the flu with a toddler, I don't even know how I would survive. So definitely at the top of my to-do list.
Both because you getting the flu would be miserable, but your toddler getting the flu, I think, would be even worse. And both of you having the flu at the same time sounds dreadful.
Yeah, it would really be draining for all of us to be wiped out. So I think this is a good time to use that FSA money in order to take the steps to keep your family healthy and also to prepare for the supplies that you might need. Things that don't expire quickly, like Tylenol that you can get now and then keep in the cabinet.
The true milestone of parenting, taking care of your vomiting child as you are also vomiting.
I have been through that milestone and live to tell the tale. I would like to avoid that one again. What's another good thing that people can spend that FSA money on, Alicia?
Sunscreen. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Fancy sunscreens are so much nicer on the skin. I think this is the biggest discovery I've had in 2024 is fancy, amazing sunscreen. Sunscreen with lotion, sunscreen with foundation, sunscreen that doesn't feel like you're clogging all your pores. This is covered in your FSA.
Treat yourself.
And protect your skin.
I wear a daily lotion that's got a little bit of SPF in it all year round, even winter, because there is sun in winter. And this is something that is eligible for FSA deduction. So get that nice sunscreen that you like.
Treat yourself.
So if you're looking for sunscreen or other skincare products and you're wondering what is eligible for your FSA, different online stores like Amazon and Target, they actually let you go and put in FSA eligible and just shop from that network of products. So you can see all kinds of things you spend your FSA money on, place the order directly, and then submit the receipt for reimbursement.
This sounds amazing.
So if you've got extra money, maybe it's December 31st, you've delayed a little bit, just get on there and buy yourself some stuff.
Let's not forget infant Tylenol, infant Motrin, things to help you sleep at night while your baby is not feeling well. What are other things you're going to be spending your FSA on this winter?
So nutritional counseling can be a great way to spend your extra FSA money. You may need a letter of medical necessity, which is something that you can ask for from your primary medical doctor. But with all of the talk that we've been hearing about food supply, maybe you have some questions, and this is the time to meet with a nutritional counselor and get those questions answered.
I think another great way to spend your FSA money is on gym memberships, on classes, on exercise activities.
Treat yourself.
So RFK Jr. has been saying food is medicine. He's been saying that we should be able to prescribe gym memberships for treatment of diabetes. That's not wrong. And exercise is an important part of the treatment of type 2 diabetes mellitus. And through an FSA, you are able to do that in some forms. And so it's worth looking up with your FSA. It's worth looking up what exercise classes you enjoy, what gym memberships you partake in, to see if your FSA will cover it. And Reddit has been a great source of help for a lot of people to help get their FSA covered, their SoulCycle classes, for example.
I have seen a thread where you can apply for a letter of medical necessity in order to get SoulCycle covered by your FSA. So if you've got some extra money and you live by SoulCycle Studio, this might be for you.
You can burn through that money fast.
You absolutely can.
Treat yourself.
And then thinking about heading into the new year, something that I know that has been on your mind, Alicia, you work with teens, you work in an emergency department, and you've really been thinking about access to reproductive care in the coming year.
There's a couple things that you can do to improve your access to reproductive health care, and what we've seen trending on X, trending in the media, is that women have been bulk buying different types of contraception. And there are ways that you can do this. You can spend your FSA on it. It can be something that you can do prior to the new year if you're worried about access to reproductive health care in the future. It's very unclear what contraception is going to look like with the next administration. It's very unclear what it will look like with regulations from the FDA. It's very unclear what regulations will look like from the federal government. It's unclear what regulations will look like from certain states. And contraceptive health care is not protected in all states.
So something that I had realized that you told me is that you can get oral contraception, birth control pills over the counter now?
Yeah, so very recently, I think in the past year or two, there is a new medication that was approved by the FDA. It's called the O-pill, O-pill, and it stands for the over-the-counter pill. It is a progestin-only pill. It's a mini pill. It's available over-the-counter, and you can order it online, and it's $20 a month. You can go to your pharmacy and ask for it. Sometimes they have to get it delivered or shipped to them, so it might take a little bit of time, but you can also just order it online and have it delivered to your house.
So maybe spend that FSA money on getting some birth control pills. And then something else that you recommended spending the money on was you can stock up on Plan B. Can you tell us more about that?
Plan B is a form of emergency contraception. It's an oral pill that you can take at home after having unprotected sex or having contraceptive method failure. So the condom got lost, condom ripped, things didn't work out the way that they were supposed to. You can take a medication afterwards and reduce the risk of pregnancy. Depending on the type of emergency contraception, the window in which you can take it and it to be effective kind of changes. Most traditionally, people think about the morning after pill, things like Plan B, My Way, Option 2, After Pill, My Choice. Those are all forms of levonorgestrel pills, and these are available over-the-counter. These kind of Plan B and the generics are available over-the-counter all across the U.S., and it doesn't matter what gender you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, you should have access to it at any pharmacy. Some pharmacies might keep it behind the counter, and so you might have to ask a staff member for it.
I hate it when they do that.
It's the worst. I always feel judged whenever I'm asking for anything behind the counter.
Even shampoo. They keep shampoo and conditioner behind the counter in Europe, where we're from, and it sucks to have to ask someone for it. It's shampoo.
I feel so shamed when I'm, like, buying conditioner. Some pharmacies might keep it behind the counter, so you might have to ask, but you should never be denied access to a morning after pill. You should never be asked for a prescription, and you should never be asked for ID, regardless of your gender, regardless of your age. The most traditional pills that are available over-the-counter, they all work the same, regardless of the name. They kind of range between $10 and $50, depending if they're generic or if they're brand name. Ask for the cheapest one. They work the same, regardless of the name.
Ask for the cheapest one. That is such good advice.
And the most important thing to know is that these traditional over-the-counter emergency contraception pills are most effective within 72 hours. Of unprotected sex, and they work best for individuals with BMI less than 25.
And these are not abortion pills, right?
They're not. They work differently depending on what part of the cycle you're in. It does not cause an abortion. It prevents ovulation if you're about to start ovulation. These are not abortion pills like they have been said in the media. They do not cause abortions. They prevent ovulation. They prevent people from becoming pregnant.
It does not affect implantation. Directly.
Great.
The primary mechanism is to prevent ovulation and to prevent fertilization.
The other thing that I want to say really quickly about emergency contraception, so it works better the sooner you take it. So the sooner you take it after having unprotected sex, the better. And so it's good to have some on hand, just in case.
So this is a good thing to be spending your FSA money on.
Yeah, you're being prepared.
Treat yourself.
The other thing I want to talk about really quickly for emergency contraception, it's not available over-the-counter, but there's a pill called Ella or Ulipristal, which is the most effective form of oral emergency contraception. It can be used within 5 days or 120 hours of unprotected sex, and it is equally effective for those under and over BMI of 25, and so it is more effective. The annoying part about Ella is that it does need a prescription.
So this might be something to send a message to your doctor. Ask for a prescription, say that you want it on hand, just in case you're using your FSA money, and you can ask for that while you're asking for your letter of medical necessity for the gym or nutrition counseling.
And in certain places, you might have easier access to Ella through the Planned Parenthood app in some states. You're actually able to order Ella.
So if you live close to one, that is great, but if you don't fear, there are other ways to get it. And hopefully these types of preventative healthcare would be covered by your insurance But we know that there is geographic and regional variability in terms of what insurance is covering and that these things may change. So, Alicia, you can use your FSA on getting some over-the-counter birth control pills.
Treat yourself.
You can use your FSA on stocking up on Plan B so you have it on hand in advance.
Treat yourself.
What if you want something a little bit more longer lasting? What are some things you should be thinking about?
So there are so many different types of birth control that can be used, and this is a great conversation to have with any sort of your primary care physician. This can be an obstetrician gynecologist, this could be your primary care family doctor, this could be a pediatrician. There are so many different methods, and it's not about choosing, there's no best method, it's about finding the right method or the best method for you. I just want to talk really quickly, just as we're talking about the upcoming administration and that there are concerns about access to contraception. There are methods of contraception that will outlast this administration. So there are certain methods that will last more than 4 years.
Treat yourself.
Tell me, what are the options?
So we call these LARCs, long-acting reversible contraception. So they are usually some form of implant that lasts a period of time of multiple years that you don't have to think about. It's a one and done.
So an example of this would be, say, an IUD, an intrauterine device. These can be hormonal or non-hormonal, placed by your doctor. And another example is an implant put into your arm called the Nexplanon. This is a hormonal-based version of birth control.
But there are multiple different types of LARCs, including the IUD, which Stephanie was just talking about. And there are many forms of IUD. Some are completely non-hormonal. Some have different forms of hormone in them. And they last a varying amount of time. And so the most commonly used is a Mirena. And a Mirena lasts 7 years. Additionally, there are other types such as a copper IUD, which has absolutely no medication at all. It is just a copper wire. And that one is FDA approved for up to 12 years, although there is kind of research coming out that you might be able to last even longer with a copper IUD. So there are a lot of options. Those are intrauterine devices. They have to be inserted by your physician, and they can be removed at any time.
And they do not affect your long-term fertility.
Absolutely not.
So these are some great ways that people can plan for the coming administration if they want to be sure that they still have access to reproductive choices. Anything else?
So you briefly mentioned the Nexplanon. So if you're a little bit nervous about having something put in your uterus, which you can talk to your physician about, is actually way more minor than you kind of think. It sounds a lot scarier than it is. But the Nexplanon is the right choice for some people, and that is an implant that's inserted into your arm. The Nexplanon lasts about 3 years.
What if someone feels that they are done having children and they don't want to have to think about this during this administration or any future administrations?
So LARCs can be a good choice for these couples, but there are other options, some a little bit more permanent options, and those include vasectomies and tubal ligations.
I saw trending on Twitter that vasectomies are going up right now.
So vasectomies, that's a really hard word to say. Vasectomies are really interesting because they're a very quick, very easy procedure to do. They can happen in the urology office, often same day as your appointment. They generally don't require general anesthesia.
I've been present and have assisted. They do not require general anesthesia.
And they're done in like 5-10 minutes.
They're really fast.
They're really fast. They're really easy. And they're not painful despite what your husband might be worried about or your partner might be worried about.
I mean, I don't think it feels great like that day, but neither does giving birth.
They are a really easy, really good option for some families.
If you're not entirely sure, maybe some of the other birth control methods are better for you than a vasectomy, because it should be thought about as a permanent option. But that would be a great way to spend some FSA money if your family thinks that's the right choice for them.
A little bit more complicated is something called a tubal ligation, which is a female version of sterilization. So vasectomies is a male version of sterilization. Tubal ligation, we're in some ways kind of closing the fallopian tubes, which prevents pregnancy. And this requires an operation. It requires general anesthesia. It requires sedation. It needs to be performed by an OBGYN. And this can be harder to schedule in a quicker time period.
It's definitely a more invasive procedure.
But it is the right choice for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. A lot of women get tubal ligations. It's actually much more common than vasectomies in the United States.
Are they?
They are. So among married individuals, 13% of couples use vasectomies compared to 22% who use tubal ligation.
Wow. Okay. Consider me educated.
So something I want to talk about really quickly is about childhood vaccinations. And if you have a young infant, toddler, and they're seeing their pediatrician getting vaccines, you know that the first 18 months going to the doctor means getting shots.
It's so true.
Literally every visit. The interesting thing about vaccines is that we have a pretty standardized schedule for most kids across the United States, and most pediatricians use just about the same schedule. Sometimes there's a little difference between like 15 and 18 months. But while that's the recommended age, there's also a minimum age, which tends to be a little bit younger than when we give certain vaccines. And the reason why this is important is that vaccines can be given before kids reach that age or milestone. And so if you're traveling for the holidays, if you're going to large family gatherings, we as pediatricians often recommend getting some vaccines early. If you're kind of spending time in airports, spending time in planes, going traveling abroad, seeing families, it can be a time to get vaccines a little bit early for that reason.
For that extra level of protection. And ultimately, we all just want to keep our kids safe. And if we know that there's going to be some high-risk situations coming up over the next couple of months, this is a great time to look into whether your child is eligible to get any vaccines a little early. A quick message to your pediatrician's office that should be able to answer that question. Your insurance, most insurances will pay for this, but if there's any discrepancy in payment because of an early schedule or an extra vaccine, this is a great thing you can use your FSA money on.
And these are discussions to have kind of with your family and with your pediatrician. And you can actually start giving these vaccines at 6 weeks of life. So if your baby is not quite 2 months yet and you're about to go on a big trip and you're taking the whole family abroad for a few weeks, this might be a discussion worth having with your pediatrician. Or if you're someone who's really nervous about vaccine regulations, vaccine laws that might change where you are living, this might be something that you want to do before the new year.
Especially if you've got a trip plan and the options are between giving the vaccines early or late, most pediatricians really prefer to give them early.
It's time for you to shop on Target online and look at their FSA eligible items.
I have been bookmarked that page and I've got my cart full, actually. I'm getting cream, a lot of cream.
A lot of Aquaphor. We didn't talk about Aquaphor. Highly recommend Aquaphor for any baby butt, baby skin, adult skin.
And there's certain types of Aquaphor that are FSA eligible. Those are the types that my family uses.
Treat yourself.
So with that, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'm Stephanie Rowland.
And I'm Alicia Rowland.
And we're going to keep rolling forward towards the new year.
Please like and subscribe. You can follow us on X, Instagram. Apparently we're on TikTok now.
We got to join Blue Sky. We're on it. You know, we just got to figure it out.
And send us any questions you have. Send us any things that you find confusing in the media, things that you're uncertain of, questions that you have, things that you'd like us to discuss in more detail.
Our email is rollinforwardshow, R-O-L-I-N, forwardshow, @gmail.com, or reach us on any of those platforms.
Until next time.
Thank you.
This is when we discovered, did it record?